chapter 7. I didn't announce what I was going to do tonight, and I'll give you what I'm going to do this morning here in just a little bit. Romans chapter 7. This is a very interesting text, I think. And I'm going to give you the title by reading the text that we're going to look at this morning. Romans chapter 7. If you don't mind, let's stand and show respect to the reading of the Scriptures. Romans chapter 7. It says in verse 24, "O wretched man, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for everyone that's here. Fine number, Lord, the fine number you've given us today. Thank for the visitors that are here today too. And Father, we pray for the unction of the Holy Spirit. We realize that we can't do anything on our own. And we pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would bless. And that your word would have free course. And that your word would accomplish that which you intend. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. We'll give this a title back there, CD man, of "O Wretched Man That I Am." Now, I want you to think about what that says there. O wretched man that I am. Now, who is, you know, I could understand that if you're talking about somebody else, but in this text, who wrote that was the Apostle Paul. This is the Apostle Paul writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And when he looked at himself, I mean, Paul's my hero. He wrote 14 books of the 27 books of the New Testament. He wrote over half the New Testament. I'll be honest with you. Paul's one of my heroes. I look up to him. And I think he's somebody you can look up to. I think he lived a godly life. I think he was a godly man. I think very few, if any, had the knowledge. I mean, can you imagine the knowledge that he had? He was even given a thorn in the flesh. Do y'all remember? He was given a thorn in his flesh to keep him humble because he had so much knowledge. So, for him to write under the inspiration of the script, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "O wretched man that I am," I'm just absolutely, I wonder about myself in a situation like that. I think a lot of times we think ourselves pretty good. I think a lot of times we think ourselves of being pretty good, but Paul never looked at himself that way. He was saved. He was. He said he was what he was by the grace of God. He realized grace reached down and saved him. But he was also a great servant once he was saved. He served the Lord all the days of his life. And he served him with a fervor. He served him with a fervor. He said, "For me to live is Christ." That's what he lived for. And you know what? When you're saved, that's the way it's supposed to be. To live isn't something else when you're born again. To live is Christ. But yet, this godly man said, "O wretched man that I am." That's what he said. The outline, I'm going to go ahead and give it to you. And the outline is going to be the reason. I'm going to show you the reason why that he made the statement, "O wretched man that I am." We'll give you the reason he made that. There was a reason why he did it. There was a reason why. And I'm going to give you the reason. Number two, I'm going to talk about the battle. If you're here today and you're saved, if you've been born again, you know what I'm talking about when I talk about the battle. There is a battle. I still live in a body of flesh. I'm saved. I'm redeemed. I'm blood bought. My name's written there. I got a home in heaven. I'm changed. But listen to me. I'm not perfect. I surely would like to be. I got a perfect standing in justification. But I live in an imperfect body. This old body's getting old. And this body is called in the Scriptures a corruptible body. It is corruptible. And Paul calls it a vile body, which means it's a sinful body. Paul recognized that even though he was born again, and even though he was changed, and even though he was a godly man, yet there was a battle that he fought every day with his flesh. Let me say it one more time. There was a battle that he fought every day with his flesh. Now, if you're here today and saved, and you fight that battle, raise your right hand. I want to see. See that battle? Everybody that's born again fights that battle against your flesh. We want to win that battle. We want to win that battle. So he acknowledges that he has that in the text. And then last of all, in verse 25, he talks about the deliverance. In verse 25, I said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So he's going to talk about the deliverance. Okay? How do you get deliverance? There'll be a day, and we have no sin, and we'll talk about that when we get there. So you got the outline. What's the title? The title is, O Wretched Man That I Am. Said by who again? The Apostle Paul, one of the most godly men that ever walked this earth. That's what he said about himself. That's what he said about himself. Well, let's look first of all at the reason. Let's look at the reason why he cried out, O wretched man that I am. Well, the reason he cried it out is he saw himself. He knew himself. He knew that himself, he wasn't perfect. Look back at Romans 7 and let's look at verse 15 and see if you can agree with what he says. He says, for that which I do, I allow not. What I would, that do I not. Now notice what he says. What I hate, that do I. Let me say it one more time. Now, this is Paul talking. He's writing under the inspiration of the Spirit. He's talking about an inward struggle that he has between his spirit and his flesh. And he says, what I hate, that do I. That means in occasions in his life, he did things. And once he did them, he said, man, I hate that I done that. So, who are we talking about again? We're talking about Paul. And he's acknowledging the struggle that at times he had with his flesh. Look at verse 18. Remember who we're talking about. We're talking about the Apostle Paul. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is the present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Think about it. So he again says that he acknowledges the fact that in his flesh dwells no good thing. And at times he did things that after he did them, he wished he didn't. He also acknowledges that in his life there was a constant to do right or to do evil. He felt that struggle. Oh, you'll feel it on Sunday morning sometimes. I'm going to use a bad illustration to give you an idea. You'll be laying in that bed and you'll think, oh, man, I ain't going today. I'm just going to sit here at the house, you know. And there's a struggle. You say, no, then something else says, no, you need to go to God's house. You'll feel, once you get there, you'll be glad you come. Once you get there, you'll be glad. Maybe somebody will sing a song, or maybe a congregation will sing a song that will bless your heart. Maybe it will be the exact message that you needed to hear. I was glad I came. But before you come, there was a what? There's a struggle. There was a struggle between the two. And we have that struggle. And we feel it. We feel it. Though I'm born again, though I'm saved, though I've been washed clean, though I'm justified, though I'm a child of the King, I still live in the body of this death. I still live in a corruptible body. And you want to know something about this old flesh body? It still has a sin nature in it. It still wants to sin. It still has evil thoughts. It still wants to do that which is wrong. And I battle this. I fight this battle every day. And you here today that are born again, you fight that same battle also. That's why I look so forward one day to getting a new body. Let's turn to the book of Galatians 5 now. Stay with me. Everybody knows when I'm telling you the truth. If you're saved today, you'll know, you'll feel that struggle in your life. It's a good thing, really. It's really a good thing that you feel that struggle. Do you know why that is, brethren? It's an evidence that you're saved. It's an evidence that you're saved, that there's a struggle there between doing what is right at times and doing that which is wrong. Galatians chapter 5, notice what it says in verse 16 and 17. It says this, I say, walk in the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit means to walk under the influence of the Holy Spirit. It basically means the same thing as being filled with the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now look at verse 17. Now notice here's the divided part again. It says the flesh lusts against the Spirit. What's the flesh? It's your flesh body, your sin nature. Guess what? Everybody sitting and standing this morning has a sin nature. Even if you're born again, you still have a sin nature. You still have an inclination to sin. You got to change life, but you still live in a sinful body. It says in verse 17, now here it describes the struggle all over again. The same, he's doing the same thing he did in Romans 7, except it's more compact here and just in a couple verses. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. So there's that inward fight between the flesh and the Spirit. I knew an old man one time, and he was my hero. He was a hero of mine. He just served the Lord all the days of his life, and I always looked up to him. And I still do hold him in very high regard. And here's what he came. I was talking to him one day, and I guess I was building him up too much. And you know what he said? He said, listen, you don't know me. You don't know how I think at times. You see me at church most of the time, and you see me at my best. But you really don't know me. I'm not as great or good as you think. He didn't want to be built up, and I don't either. Because I know me, and you know you. You don't desire to be built up in any way. I thought that was pretty good. So, Paul cried out, what's our title? Paul cried out, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body? See, stop me. From the body of this death. That's what he said. So he recognized he wasn't perfect. Perfect standing in justification, changed life, but he wasn't without sin. Brother, that's a sign of being born again. When you're born again, sin, being born again isn't that you're perfect. And I've seen people that said they was perfect, but they're lying. Book of 1 John says, if you say you're without sin, quoting Scripture, don't get mad at me. Well, if you get mad at me over Scripture, I guess that's all right. But 1 John chapter 1 says, if you say you're without sin, you're a liar and the truth's not in you. So if you're born again, you realize you're not perfect. You realize there is a struggle against your flesh. And so there's a daily battle that we wage. There's a daily battle that we wage against it. Some people say, well, I'm not good enough to be saved. Well, nobody's good enough to be saved. If I got what I deserve, the earth would open up and I'd slide right into hell. He died for sinners. And when you trust Him as your Savior, He gives you eternal life. And He changes your life. But you got one benefit. There's one benefit you don't have yet that I'm going to talk about later. You don't got your new body yet. Y'all look forward to getting, and that's part of the benefit package. Part of the benefit package is you're going to get a new body. And that body's not going to age. That body's not going to get sick. And that body's never going to die. And that body's never going to do what something else. It's never going to sin. It's never going to sin. That's a glorious thing, is it not? There's something that, let's go back to Romans 7 just for a little bit. I'm going to give you something that's going to sound a little bit gross to you, but I thought it was kind of interesting. Why did Paul cry, "Oh, wretched man that I am, beloved"? He seen sin in himself. He wasn't perfect. He still did things that bothered him. He longed to be perfect, changed and all that, but he recognized that he still sinned. Now, verse 24 says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Now, I read this, and I read this in a lot of different places, and I don't know this to be perhaps what Paul was talking about, but there was a city near Tarsus. There was a place near Tarsus that had a king. And here's what they said, how he handled a murderer. Say, if you killed somebody, say someone murdered somebody, what they did as a punishment to that man is they took that man's corpse and they chained it to the murderer so that he had to carry that dead body with him everywhere he went, sleep with it, walk with it. He carried it with him, that old corrupt body, everywhere that he went. And it would decay and it would stink till eventually it would actually kill him. I thought that was something. And since that was near Tarsus, a lot of the writers think when he said, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" that's what it's talking about. Well, I thought that sounded pretty good, because you want to know a little something? We're chained to that kind of body ourselves. This old body that we got is corrupting. It's getting older. It still has sin in it. And one of these days, this old body is going to die. Let's turn back to the book of Galatians chapter 5. Book of Galatians chapter 5. So everybody understands this morning the reason for the statement, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Now let's talk a little bit about the battle. Let's talk a little bit about the battle. I want to read these two verses again out of the book of Galatians. Let's talk a little bit about the battle. It says, verse 16, "Walk in the Spirit, walk under the influence of the Holy Spirit. You should not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Here you have the struggle mentioned again. The flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You cannot do the things that you would. So we understand the struggle. Everybody that understands the struggle, raise your right hand. All right, now how do you have victory in the struggle? How do you have victory in the struggle? How do we deal with it? How do we win the battle of the flesh? Well, the first thing I want to tell you this morning is you got to feed your spiritual man. You got to feed yourself. If you don't feed yourself spiritually, then what happens? You just get weaker and weaker and weaker. I'm going to tell you a little something this morning. After you're saved, the devil will do everything in the world to get you away from your sources of strength. Let me say it one more time. Now that you're born again, the devil will do everything he can to separate you from the sources of strength. He'll do that. You need to have it. You need to have sources of strength so that you can overcome the old sinful flesh that you have. If you don't do these things, after a period of time, you know what will happen? You'll drift farther. You'll become more worldly and worldly in your conduct. So these are things that you need to do in order to feed your spiritual man. Number one, you need to pray. You need to pray. Now, when I talk about you need to pray, what am I talking about? I'm just not talking about just praying once in a while. I'm talking about you need to have times where you get alone with the Lord and have a list. I got a prayer list. I got things I pray about. You know why I have a prayer list? So I won't forget things. But secondly, so I can keep track of things. It has amazed me what the Lord does through prayer. And one of the things prayer does is it keeps you strong. Simon Peter got blowed up in pride. Remember? And Jesus knew he got blowed up in pride. And you know what he said to him? Watch and pray. Willing, but your flesh is weak. Let me say it one more time. Your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever heard a message that said, boy, that's a message I needed. I'm going to walk out of here and I'm never going to miss another day of church. And you miss Wednesday night. It don't last. And right there you see your spirit's willing, but your flesh is constantly faltering. So, I'm going to use my illustration because I loved her. Oh, how many of y'all know Nanny Bailey? How many? Just see how many. I just want to see y'all. Oh, my. Nobody knows Nanny Bailey. Been a while. She was my, I know why you don't know her. She went there about 40 years ago. But she was my teacher when I was a little boy. She taught me in the classroom. Had them little blue seats in it. And I probably was 5 or 6. I can't remember. I was real young. But I can still remember Nanny Bailey teaching. An old woman. And she got down there and she taught us about this. She taught us about the old and new nature when you're saved. And there was a need to keep yourself strong spiritually or you'll fall because you're in a flesh body. You know what she did? She used that flannel graph. I don't guess anybody uses flannel graph anymore, but she used flannel graph is what she used. And she had two wrestlers. And she put two wrestlers up there and both of them were real muscular. And she said, now here's what we're going to do. We're going to starve this one. We're not going to feed him. And we're going to feed this other one. And we're going to wait about 2 weeks. And that's what she said. And said after we've not fed this one for 2 weeks, then she put the one that was fed up and he was still muscular. Then she put up the one that wasn't fed for 2 weeks and he's got that big round. Real skinny and real weak looking. And she said, now kids, which one was the strongest? And guess who answered it? I answered it. I said, Nanny, it's the one they fed. She said, you are right. The one that was strongest was the one that was fed the most. All God's people said. When you're born again, you have a new nature, but you still live in a flesh body. You got to feed that. You got to feed your spiritual man. If you don't feed yourself spiritually, what's going to happen over time is you're going to get weak and you're going to drift spiritually. There's a need to keep yourself strong. And one of the ways that happens is you've got to strengthen yourself through the means of prayer. I don't know what I'd do if I couldn't pray. I couldn't make it without prayer. Prayer strengthens my spirit. Sometimes I get so heavy, I can't hardly stand it. I can't explain it to you. You probably understand because you have the same things. Sometimes I get so heavy, I just absolutely can't hardly stand it. It just takes my mind over, sucks all my joy out, and I feel so weak. And then I get alone with the Lord, and I pray. And it strengthens me. My flesh gets stronger. I have more strength to continue on. So if you're going to win this battle of the flesh, you got to feed your spiritual man. And one of the ways you do that is through the means of what again? You got to pray. I don't know that our people pray. And I don't mean pray in church. And I don't mean before you sit down and eat, you know, God is great, God is good. Thank you for our food. Amen. I never seen anybody pray so fast. You ever seen anybody do that? Getting ready to eat and got both spoon and fork in it. God is great, God is good. Thank you for food. Amen. You just will not even pray if that's what you're going to do. It's disrespectful. You take time to say, Lord, thank you for this. You are the provider of my food. Jacob said in the Old Testament, he said that he was the God that fed him all the days of his life. God's the one that feeds you. And we thank him for these kinds of things. We thank him for saving our souls. We make confession of our sins. You know what? I'm not perfect, and we've been established that from the beginning of the sermon. We still sin. I've been here a long time, and I've watched people that have done good, and I've watched people that have drifted, and they'll do good for a while, and they drift. They'll do good for a while, and they drift. You know what people stop doing that drift? I know. You know what they stop doing? First thing they stop doing is praying. First thing they stop doing, I'm telling you, that's the first thing every time that's done that, I say, well, have you been talking to the Lord much? And they'll go, I ain't been praying at all. How can you be close to Jesus if you never talk to Him? And you know what you're also doing? Prayer keeps you close because it's how you confess your sins. How you stay in fellowship with the Lord, closeness this with the Lord, is by confessing your sins. Sins of thought, sins of omission, sins of commission. There's a lot of things that are sins that you need to do what? That you need to confess. You stop confessing your sin. Anybody I ever seen that quit church and got back out in the world stopped confessing their sins and stopped praying. Every one of them do the exact same thing. You need to pray in order to stay close to Jesus. I have to do it. I'm not above it either. I have to do it in order to stay close. So if your flesh is going to be, if your spirit's going to be win the victory over the flesh, you got to feed your spiritual man. You do it by prayer. Watch and pray. Who did he say that to? You remember? Watch and pray. Your spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. Somebody, who did he say? Who did Jesus say that to? Somebody say it one more time. Simon Peter. Right before he did what? Right before he did what? Right before he fell. Jesus warned him. He said, all of you is going to be offended because of me this night. And remember what Simon Peter said? Hey, the rest of these boys might. I never will. What did Simon Peter do? He denied that he was one of Jesus' disciples three times. In front of a young girl. In front of it. Who was that again? That's Simon Peter. If Simon Peter can lose courage and fall, don't you think we could do the same thing? But he wasn't doing what? He wasn't praying. The Lord warned him. The Lord said, Satan hath desired to have you, Simon, that he might sift you like wheat. He told him to watch and do what else? Pray. You got the same battle that he had if you're here this morning and saved. You're fighting your flesh. You're fighting it daily. And to win that bout, you have to have a time that you pray to the Lord. You pray to Him on and off again all day. I do that. You talk to Him on and off again all day. But there needs to be a set-down time or a walk time, which is what I do, where you have a list. And I mean you got people praying. I don't know what would happen here. We've seen a lot of great things happen in Elizabeth Baptist Church, but I don't know what would happen if we had 125 people that had a prayer list and prayed over it daily. I think that would be a powerful thing. I don't know how many does that. I don't know how many actually, but I think if we had that, I think it would be a powerful thing. So to win the battle of the flesh, what do you need to do? You need to pray. I pray daily, Lord, keep me from sin. Keep me from sin. Keep me from falling. Don't let me do anything stupid. Yeah, don't let me do anything stupid. Keep me strong. May not do anything to dishonor you. Hold me, Lord. Keep me where I need to be. That helps you win the battle of the flesh. You start losing the battle when you quit praying. That's the start. Number two, you got to have the intake of God's Word. And I just can't tell you, beloved, how blessed we are today from times past. I mean, we got the full book. We got the full revelation of the Word of God. That's only been for the past maybe 400 years where you had the full book, where everybody has their own copy, even have commentaries in them. We got the full book. We need a good intake of the Word of God. I was going to ask you a question. How many read their Bible every day? But last time I done that, man, it broke my heart. If I asked you if you watch TV every day, we could raise both hands. But if I asked you, did you read your Bible every day, it'd be, oh my. It's difficult. Our society reflects the influence of the television. It's more influenced by the television than it is by the Word of God. You need a daily intake of the Word of God. Psalms 119, we quote this in Vacation Bible School. When we pledge allegiance to the Bible, it says, Thy Word, hear me, Thy Word will I hide in my heart. How do you hide God's Word in your heart? You remember it. You remember it. You commit it to memorization. Thy Word I'll hide in my heart. Let me finish it. That I might not sin against God. See, when you got God's Word in your heart, it keeps you from sinning. If you quit getting God's Word and you don't memorize God's Word and you don't have it in your heart, then what happens is it's people fall into sin. No prayer, you fall. No Word of God, you fall. One of my heroes in the Old Testament was Brother Joseph. And I think Joseph knew the Scriptures. I think he was taught well by his dad. I think he knew some things about the Lord. And you remember, he was in Potiphar's house. One of the things that happened there is, of course, God blessed him. He's in Egypt. He'd been sold into Egypt by his brothers because his brothers hated him. And now he was over Potiphar's household. And he had a wife. He had a wife. I know it doesn't say what she looked like, but I figure she's a real nice looking woman. But one day she seen Joseph, who was a fine looking young man. And she desired to commit adultery with him. And you know what he did? He said, no, ain't happening. He didn't do it. Another day, she caught him where it was just her and him in the house. She grabbed a hold of him and he run out and rent his garment. He tried to get out of there so bad. You know why he did that? Here's what he told her. He said, can I do this great wickedness and sin against my God? He thought more of his God than he did the sin. Don't we need people like that today? See, Joseph had God's Word in his heart. And buddy, when he needed to apply it, he applied it to his situation. Prayer will keep you from sin. God's Word will keep you from sin. And that's why you want to instruct your children in the things of the Lord. They need it in their heart. They need it in their memory so that they can call it and use it at times whenever they need it. So, win in the battle of the flesh, prayer. Win in the battle of the flesh, the Word. You don't get it, then you're going to get weak. Of course, going to God's house is where you get God's Word too, isn't it? You should be able to find God's Word at God's house. That's what the church was established for. Make disciples, baptize them. Hear me. Then teach them. Teach them to observe all things. See, a church is a teaching place. This isn't an entertainment place. You don't come to church to get entertained or jokes and all these different things. You come to church to hear God's Word. That's what church is for. That's why it's called the pillar and the ground of the truth. If you'll look in the book of 1 Timothy 3, I think, but it's in 1 Timothy. It's also in Titus. A pastor has qualifications. Do you realize it? And you can go there and there's the qualifications for the pastor. And he has to fulfill those qualifications. And you know what one of the top qualifications for a pastor is? He has to be apt to teach. He has to have the ability to teach the Scriptures, which means not only does he need to know the Scriptures, but also he needs to live the Scriptures. So you also learn not only by what people say, you learn also by what people do. You learn also by what people do. I've had people say this before. Their actions speak so loudly, I can't hear what they're saying. They were saying one thing, and they were living a different way. Well, you need to go to God's house. Remember Brother Asaph? I preached on him a couple weeks ago. Psalm 73, he was like over the temple choir. And he got angry at the Lord. He got angry at God. You're in bad shape when you got your choir leader angry at the Lord. He was angry because he began to question God. Who are you to question God anyhow? You ain't got all the information anyhow. When you get all the information, it'll make perfect sense. But Asaph did. You know what made him mad? Let me tell you what made him mad. It's made me mad before. Here's this saint of God, and they got cancer, and they're suffering like crazy from it. And here's this old heathen over here that don't want nothing to do with God, hates the things of God, living a worldly life, blasphemes God, and they got perfect health. And you know what? That was Asaph's problem. He stumbled because of it. He said, how could this happen? This guy's a godly person. This person hates God. Why is the godly person suffering and the ungodly person not? And he got so bitter that it completely took over. It completely took over his life. You know what happened to him? Says he went to God's house. Probably didn't want to. Probably didn't feel like going. You got to make yourself good. He made himself go. Maybe it was his time to lead the choir and he had to go, but he went. But when he went to the house of God, here's what he said. Then I understood therein. Let me say it one more time. I understood therein. The end of the wicked is different than the end of the godly. Listen, beloved, I'm going to spend forever with the Lord. If I die today, I go off to be with Jesus. I go off to be with Him. Right now, I'd go right off to be with Him. You'd know where I'm at. I'd never sin again. I'd never get sick again. I mean, I can't imagine going to glory. But I also can't imagine living in life without that hope and without that expectation. I don't know how anybody could be happy, but if that's all they had. People live their entire world. I know I say this too much. And I don't know if I can. I think the Lord wants me to, so I say it anyhow. Average lifespan of man, 70 years. That's the average. Psalms 90 and verse 10 says that. Sometimes it's 80. Sometimes it's more. But that's not real long when you think, here's what I'm trying to tell you, folks. You're going to spend eternity somewhere. And what's the most important thing in the world is where you spend eternity at. I'm 56. I just turned 56 in case you forgot my birthday. But I'm 56. That sounded like 6,000 years old when I was 15. The average lifespan is 70. Is that 14 years from now? Think about it. That's not real long. Sometimes I think what happened 14 years ago happened last year. Because it's went by, it's went by so fast. It goes by so fast. And you know what Psalms 90 says? Hear me, beloved. It's soon over. And you fly away. And the most important thing is where you fly away to. It's where you fly away to. Well, it's the spiritual things that matter the most. We keep ourselves strong by prayer. And we keep ourselves strong by going, studying God's Word, by going to God's house. And God's house is where we learn about the eternal things. God's house is where they learn about the eternal things. Now, Barbara, no, I don't know what the stats is on this. When someone passes, beloved, most generally, they get a preacher to do the service. Y'all agree? Most generally, they get a preacher to do the service. What preaches the service? Well, most of the time, I preach to the people that are there. That's what the person usually wants you to do. I preach to the people that are there. But what is the most comforting thing on that day is where that person that died is at. I mean, people like to talk about all the great accolades they've done in their life, and that's great. But what's important, hear me, what's important is where they're at. Where are they at? What comforts the families where they're at? Who they're with, and that they'll see him again. All God's people said. Amen. Spiritual things that matter. Earthly things don't matter. It don't. That's why it's so important. That's why it's so important that God's people be concerned about the spiritual things. You need to go to God's house. You need to run with the God-fearing. I'm going to close with this one. We're talking about how to win the battle of the flesh. You win the battle of the flesh by feeding your spiritual man. Prayer, intake of God's Word, going to God's house. But you also need, hear me, you need to run with the God-fearing. You need to run with the God-fearing. Psalms 119:63 is the last text I'm going to read to you. A companion of wise men will be wise. I'm going to say it one more time. A companion of wise men will be wise. A companion of fools will be destroyed. Psalms 119, verse 63. You want to serve the Lord? You need to run with the God-fearing. You need to run with the God-fearing. We battle the flesh every day. You need to be around people that's going to encourage you to hang in there. You need to run with people that's going to encourage you to serve Jesus. And you need to run with people that's going to say, hey, don't you do that. You need somebody that's going to help you along the way. You need a friend. You need a Christian brother or sister. I got one here that comes on Sunday evening sometimes. He goes to another church, but he's one of my best buddies. I got a lot of best buddies, but Neil Castro went all through school with me. And in high school, we're still like brothers. He still calls me. I run around with a tough crowd. I partied, brawled, everything you could possibly do, I've done. And I knew when I started serving the Lord that I couldn't continue to run with who I ran with. I knew they'd pull me back into it. I knew I had to separate. You see where I'm coming from? It's hard to do. But if I was going to help them, I had to separate. They need to see that I was real anyhow. If I was going to help them, they need to see that I was different. But I knew in the beginning that my flesh was weak. And if I ran with them, they were going to pull me back doing the same things I'd done before. Couldn't run with them. Couldn't run with them. Had to get rid of them. So I still loved them. I'd still help them, but I couldn't hang with them. Because I know if I hung with them, I'd go back to drinking again. I'd go back to partying again. I'd go back to the drugs again. I'd go back to the brawling again. I know I'd go back to all of that. I had to separate myself from it. What our message? Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Oh, wretched man that I am, is what Paul said about himself. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He realized he had a corrupt. That's what you need to do to get strong and to stay strong. Prayer, intake of God's Word, God's house. And run with the God-fearing. Run with the God-fearing. And you know the God-fearing crowd is getting smaller and smaller. I didn't have a great big crowd of people I ran with. I had two boys. But we kept each other straight. Still my friends all the way down to today. Well, beloved, this message was entitled, Oh, Wretched Man. We talked about how to win the battle of the flesh. Let's all stand. Thank you.